Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 216. And we bring in the new king of Class A boys basketball here in the state of Nebraska, Mr. Steve Klein, the head boys basketball coach at Bellevue West High School. Steve and I were talking a little bit off air. Obviously wanted to have Steve on for a while, but I thought it would be best to kind of let this whole season play itself out and let Steve go through everything that he went through, which I'm really curious. We haven't talked, so it's going to be news to me, whatever we talk about as well. But just excited to talk about Coach Klein's experiences this year, winning a state championship in his first year as the head coach at Bellevue West there, and just all the things that went into that. So really looking forward to that. Steve and I have known each other for, God, what's it been? Well over 20 years, hasn't it been, Steve?
Oh yeah. It's been quite a while.
Yeah. So you know, two seasoned and experienced guys just chewing the fat here. So hope you folks enjoy the next hour or so. But before we get going with Coach Klein here, we want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, located at 144th and Maple here in Omaha. Coaches, if you or any of your athletes are struggling with balanced neck or spinal issues, have them go see Dr. Kevin or Dr. Heidi. Give them a call, 402-964-0300. Go make an appointment. Go check out their website, Cosac Chiro, KOSACCHIRO.com. Just great people. Go check them out. Follow us on Twitter at A Pen and a Napkin. We try to put out daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle, so be sure to follow us there. If you're listening, download, rate, review, go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Say nice things. If you do that, when people look up Coaching Basketball Podcast, A Pen and a Napkin pops up there. So that definitely helps with that. And if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me at penandanapkin@gmail.com. Go check out penandanapkin.com. It's a really good coaching website. I like it because I'm the one that made it. So go check it out. There's a lot of really, really good things on there that I've got up there. So Coach Klein back, took a week off. He says, I win a state championship. I'm just taking off for a week. I'm headed to the foothills of northern Arkansas. Steve, you just got to be feeling refreshed at this point, right?
I am a little bit, yes, but I want to state one thing first. I am by far not even close to the king of Class A, but I appreciate that.
You are the current king of Class A.
Well, I'm very, very fortunate to have really, really good players that played for me, so that makes a huge difference. But there's a lot of really, really good coaches in not only Class A, but a lot of places around, but I do appreciate that.
Yeah, well, we win a state championship, and then, we were talking a little bit. You took a little R&R and just got an Airbnb out in the middle of nowhere and just kind of decompressed for a few days, huh?
Yeah, it was great. I talked at the end of the year about how, I had really kind of put a lot more pressure on myself than I think I realized throughout the season this season. And I just needed some time to just go get away, not think about basketball, not think about anything, and just kind of both rest and kind of rejuvenate myself to get ready to get going for another season next year and prepare myself. And it was really nice to just do that.
Yep. Awesome. Well, hey, let's dive into it, Coach, here. Like I said, we've known each other a long time. But for the folks that don't know about you, don't know about your basketball journey, tell us how you got into coaching and how you ended up being the head boys basketball coach there at Bellevue West.
Well, I'll start with a long time ago. I mean, this is my 23rd year coaching basketball. And I was very fortunate. When I was in high school, I wasn't a very good basketball player. Shocker, I know. If you saw me, you'd see, be like, oh my God, how's this guy coaching basketball?
Yeah.
But no, I was not a very talented basketball player. So at the end of my sophomore year, I decided to hang up the old shoes. But I was very fortunate to have Scott Rosmo, who was the head boys coach at Haitian St. Cecilia, and he's a cousin of mine. He knew that I kind of wanted to get into coaching and be a coach. And so he gave me the opportunity my junior year in high school to be an assistant and help with the freshmen at that time. And then my senior year in high school, he gave me the opportunity obviously I had a supervisor there, but he gave me the opportunity to be the head freshman coach. So, you know, he kind of gave me my start, and then went to Wayne State College and got my teaching degree. While I was getting my teaching degree, I was fortunate enough to, one of my supervising teachers that I had in getting my degree was Iris Borg, who was the head girls coach at Wakefield High School.
Okay.
And so I got lucky and happened to ask, you know, do you have any openings or would you like any help coaching basketball? And she gave me the opportunity for 2 years there while I was in college to help coach. I coached the freshman girls, and then I also helped coach the varsity girls there, where my first year there, we went 14-9 and went to the district finals and got beat in the district finals, but had a lot of success in those 2 years there. Then I graduated and was fortunate enough to get a job at Plasmouth, where I started out as the boys freshman coach my first season there under Dave Snyder. And I also coached football back then. And then I, after 1 year coaching freshman, I got the opportunity. Sean Brothers was the head girls coach at the time, gave me the opportunity to move across and move up to be in, the JV coach. So I was the JV girls coach for 3 years. And then Sean decided to move up and become our athletic director and hire me as the head girls basketball coach at Plasmouth, which, you know, Plasmouth wasn't a, is not a real big basketball town. And so, you know, when I took over, that program had 10 wins in 10 years. And so, you know, we had a, you know, Sean and I had kind of started a girls youth program, which they didn't have down there at the time. And, you know, I kind of benefited from kind of taking over at the right time and had some talented kids in there. And for the 5 years I was there, we were able to win 49 games and had had two back-to-back winning seasons, which was the first time that that program had a winning season in 25 years. And so, you know, it wasn't a real basketball school, but I was really lucky to have some talented kids. They weren't great basketball kids. They were really good athletes. I had a couple, you know, one kid who went and ran track at Nebraska.
Played their butts off.
They did. They played hard, and you know, we ran some different things than what I'm doing now, but it worked for those kids. And unfortunately, I ran into a couple of your teams, and you just absolutely kicked the crap out of us in a couple of one district final game and then one district second round game. But we were fortunate enough to get to a couple district finals, which we hadn't done, for a long time, over 20 years. So then I had the opportunity to interview for a couple of Class A girls jobs, and I didn't get it. And one of the things that both of the administrators told me was that I didn't have enough Class A experience and that I needed to do that. So I took the chance and happened to find some connections that I knew Troy Wharton, who was an assistant at, for Doug Woodard under at Bellevue West for quite a few years there. And was connected with him, and he found out that Doug was looking for a JV coach, and they had a math opening. And so I applied, interviewed for that job, and was fortunate enough to get it and joined Doug's staff. And I for my first couple years at Bellevue West, I was the JV coach. And then after a couple years, we hired Matt Lauritsen to come in, and he took over the JV program, and I became the varsity assistant. And I was a varsity assistant there for the next 11 years under Doug, and was very fortunate to have some really talented teams. You know, I was just looking up, you know, this is my 13th year at Bellevue West. And of those 13 years, 9 years we went to the state tournament. Seven of those 9 years has ended in the state championship game, which is absolutely crazy. But again, it's a credit to, we've had some very, very talented kids. But then Doug last year decided that he decided he was going to retire. And fortunately for me, you know, I threw my name in the hat, and, you know, Doug backed me all the way through and was very, you know, was very supportive in me getting that job and interviewed and got lucky enough to get that job and took over this year. And again, you know, we had of the nine guys who played last year, significant minutes. We had six of those guys coming back for us. Mm-hmm. And this year we, you know, we're very lucky enough to go 27-1, which I was thinking, I was talking to somebody today at AAU practice, like, when I first designed the schedule, I made sure that I asked our seniors when I got the job, hey, we got a chance to play Totino Grace. We got a chance to play West Des Moines Valley. Some really, really good competition. Mm-hmm. Are you guys in? And they didn't bat an eye. They all said, you know what, let's do it, coach. We want to play the best. We want to get after teams. And mm-hmm. so looking back on it now, to say we would go 27-1, it's just kind of crazy. And, man, these kids played their butts off and found a way. We weren't great in the state tournament, but we found ways to find enough ways to score points and come out with a win, which was huge.
Hey, it doesn't matter if you're great or not. It just matters if you win three games in a row. That's the only thing that anybody's going to really care about. So,
which is really crazy, because it's a lot of people just don't understand how hard that is.
Yeah.
And to, you know, and I look back and I think, and I'm like, my Lord, we've been to the state tournament 9 times in my 13 years. We've never lost a first round game.
Wow.
And that's just, we always keep talking to each other, Matt Lawrence and my JV coach and I and Doug, and we used to always say, don't take this for granted, because this is just not normal. Yeah. You know, you're lucky sometimes if you go once, but let alone 9 times, and of those 9 times, you never once got beaten in the first round. Mm-hmm. So it's just, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, what was kind of some of the big adjustments that you had to make coming over from being a head coach at a Class B school? And like I say, you had a couple good teams. And I remember the one game we played against each other, Steve. I mean, we could have played that game 1,000 times, and it wouldn't have never ended up that way. It was just a 1 in 1,000 time. I think you guys had the worst shooting night in the history of basketball. I mean, you know, and it was just a fluke. It had nothing to do with us. It was just, you know, you guys literally shot 10%, and you had great looks. It just, there was a lid on the basket. It had nothing to do with us. You know, it was just weird. But, you know, you had some good teams there. You had some success. You turned around a pretty morbid program, and then you made this jump to the boys' side at the Class A level. You know, what were some of the things that you had to adjust as you came into the situation?
I remember the first time I went to a summer league game, when I actually found out that I got the job and everything, and I watched these guys play, and it was Malik Aluchaweki and CJ Johnson. That was their freshman year. And where I'm watching these guys go up and down the court, I'm like, holy cow, this game is so much faster than Class B girls basketball. Like, oh man, what am I doing? But after that kind of first shock and awe, it was good. I had coached football at Plasma for the entire time I was there, so I knew how to coach guys. Mm-hmm. And it was a good adjustment from the standpoint of, it gave me the opportunity to really learn more about the game, because we were okay in Plasma, but we had to keep things really simple.
Yeah.
And so we weren't doing anything elaborate like we do here at Bellevue West. But that, I mean, the speed of the game was probably the biggest adjustment. And then the defensive details that go with everything was so much more different than what I had previously taught.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're with Doug for 11 years. Obviously, Doug's one of the godfathers in the state, and a great guy, you know, the record speaks for himself, his record speaks for everything that he did in his career. And, you know, but what was, you kind of talked about the complexity of it. You know, what were just some of the big things that you took away from Doug, as you were his assistant for that length of time? What are probably the 3 or 4 top things that you were able to take from him as you were around him every day for 11 years?
Well, I think the biggest thing was the way he communicated with kids. I look back now on my time at Plasma, and I wish I could have had that back, because I was young and I wasn't very good at communicating with my kids. I distinctly remember one senior, my first year as head coach. She started most of the year, and then I kind of benched her. But I didn't really sit her down and talk to her and explain to her why. And I blame that on myself being young and not really doing that. I wish I could have that back now that I look back and how well he communicated with players and how often he would sit them down one-on-one and talk about, okay, this is where I see you. This is what you need to get better at. If you want to do this, this, and this, this is what you're going to need to do. He was excellent at that. And it's something that over 12 years I've learned from him. And it's an area that I still try to improve day to day. I'm not great at it still, but I hope I've gotten a lot better from where I was at originally. Mm-hmm. The second thing is the details of your practice and how you guard people, how you defend certain actions and things like that. There were so many things that I was just amazed as to the amount of knowledge he had about everything. Like, it didn't matter what came up, he had an answer for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was him looking it up all the time or if that was him, just his experience. I'm sure it was a combination of both.
Yeah.
You know, I distinctly remember one thing. We were playing, in the 2014 or 15, I think it's 2015 state tournament. And we got a team who iced us on a ball screen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all like, man, we've never seen that before. And we happened to do that the year before to a team in a one-day prep thing. And his knowledge and understanding of how to attack that. And, I mean, that was just amazing to me, how he knew that. He knew exactly what to do. And so, you know, those kind of things are things that I really picked up on from him. Just the details of how to guard the ball, how to guard off the ball, how to anticipate certain things, how to rotate certain ways. All those things are just things that he taught me and I learned that I didn't even know as a young coach that really, really helped.
Mm-hmm. Coaches, get signed up today for the 4th annual A Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. This year's clinic will take place on Saturday, April 27th at the AEF Basketball Academy facility located at South 99th Circle and Portal Road in La Vista, Nebraska. We've got a great lineup of speakers, starting out with 3 on-court demonstrations. Justin Carter, former Creighton basketball player and owner and operator and founder of ProVision Basketball here in Omaha. He's going to do some essential skills and drills for player development. Dave Hubert, the head girls basketball coach at Ashland Greenwood High School, is going to do defensive principles and drills. Mark Sfigera, the head men's basketball coach at my alma mater, the Harvard of the Heartland, Briarcliff University. Great offensive mind, and he's going to talk about offensive basketball. One of the great things that we do at a Pen and a Napkin Clinic is we have our classroom sessions during our lunches. And we've got 3 great speakers to come in this year to talk during our lunches. Jim Simons, the head boys basketball coach at Omaha Westside, is going to talk about using the 3-point shot. Andy Gerlez, my good friend G, going to talk about building a program foundation and practice principles from Papillion La Vista South. And Tyler Bird, the Think Shrink, you heard him on the podcast a few weeks ago. He's going to talk about mental health for coaching and keeping balance in your coaching life. And then we're going to have 2 breakout sessions. That's probably the thing that makes a Pen and a Napkin Clinic the most unique thing, is you're going to sit around and you're going to talk with random coaches about random topics and pick the brains of random coaches that are going to be there for the clinic. Along with that, once the clinic is done, perhaps the best part of the clinic, I don't know, there's a lot of good things about the clinic, is our post-clinic social. And that's going to be at Wine 121, located at 120th and Center here in Omaha. Just $15 per coach if you want to attend that. Again, it's all about the coaches, and I try to keep it really, really affordable. This year, for one coach, for over 7 hours worth of stuff, $50. That's about $7 an hour to get great information. 2 coaches from a staff, $90 or $45 a piece. 3 coaches from the same staff, $120, so $40 a piece. If you have 4 or more coaches from your staff, that's $35. That's $5 an hour that you're going to pay for your whole staff to have a great day of knowledge and learning things. So if you're interested in signing up for the clinic, look for our flyer on Twitter, or you can email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. You can DM me on Twitter. Registrations are due Thursday, April 25th. Have to do that for the lunch count and make sure that we're taken care of there. But coaches, you will not regret signing up for the 4th annual A Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. Do that today. So you go into this process, we'll call it a process, and rumors are rolling around that coach is going to retire, and then he, you know, confirms, I can't remember how long it was afterwards, but, you know, just kind of go through what you were thinking during that time, you know, the interview process, you know, how did you approach it? Obviously, you wanted the job. Doug wanted you to have the job, but it doesn't always work out that way, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so we're heading into interview season. We're heading into people are applying for jobs, and this is something that you went through a year ago, and you slid over 18 inches. But you know what? Just kind of tell us a little bit about that, Steve, and kind of your experience, your thought process. How did you prepare yourself for the tough questions you were going to get stepping in for somebody like Coach Woodard and taking over such a program that has had as much success as it's had?
Well, I knew in January he sat me down and we had our normal Sunday meetings. And he sat me down after we got done and he told me, he goes, you know what? He says, I've talked to Lori, my wife, and I've decided that, you know, this is going to be it for me. I'm going to retire. And when he told me that, I kind of, you know, I had applied for a job the year before and interviewed for it. And he kind of sat me down at that point and said, you know, I don't know how many years I have left. It could be next year. It could be 5 years from now. I'm not going to say exactly because I don't know. But, you know, at that time, he kind of led me to believe that, you know what, if you lose, the chances of you getting this job are probably not going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted it. And so, you know, it kind of made me realize that, okay, you're right. If I do that, it's not going to look real good. And so, decided to stay. I didn't get offered the job, and that was perfectly fine with me. It worked out the way it was. I think the big man upstairs was kind of looking out for me a little bit.
Yeah.
But when he told me that, I knew, okay, I knew that this was a possibility because, you know, he had talked about maybe Josiah being his last year a couple years before, and so I kind of knew it was somewhat coming.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it exactly. But once that did happen, okay, now it was time to sit down and, all right, I know I want this job. And so I've got to start getting myself ready and focusing myself on, okay, let's sit down and think about what our program's about. We don't really want to change much. And I think through the process, I spent the next few kind of probably 4 or 5 weekends when I had time just sitting down and getting myself ready, you know, thinking about, okay, what kind of philosophy do we have? How much do I want to change? Do I really want to change that much? And I came to the conclusion that, you know, what we're doing works. Mm-hmm. And I've been a part of it for 12 years, and there's no real reason to change anything. And so, you know, I went in with the mindset of, okay, this is what we believe in. This mm-hmm. is what we're going to do. And we're going to maintain that. We're going to keep that. And not a lot of things are going to change. And I think a lot of people were, I think, kind of worried about a little bit in the day and age today with kids leaving and going, you know, to other places and whatever else and kind of the unknown. And I think credit to John Morrow and credit to Kevin Rolfs and the higher ups administration of Bellevue West. When I interviewed, they, you know, they decided to give me the job and I appreciate that, you know, showed me that, you know, they believed in what we were doing and what we were doing was right. And, but it was, I remember being in the state tournament,
mm-hmm.
That year and, you know, nobody else knew except me and Matt Lawrence and our JV coach. You know,
yeah.
We were the only two that Doug had told,
Yep.
And he was very adamant about, you know, I don't want this out. I don't want anybody to know. And we're both perfectly fine with that.
Sure.
And so, you know, he kind of sat all of us down in the staff meeting right before we walked out for the state championship game. And, you know, he kind of told everybody on the staff and says, hey, you know, this is it for me. This is my last game. I'm going to retire. And, you know, I know, you know, Steve and Matt have known for a little while, and, you know, I'm going to try to vouch for Steve to get the job. I know, you know, he also thought Matt would be a great hire, and he would have been.
Yeah.
But Matt really just wasn't interested in being the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that really kind of took a weight off my chest a little bit going into that game, because we were both, Matt and I were like, oh man, we got to do this for him. Like, he deserves this. We got to find a way to win this last game. And kids played exceptionally well.
Yep.
And I think it kind of really hit me when we got home on the bus ride and we pulled all the kids off the bus and went in the gym, and he pulled them all together and told them all that, you know, this is it for him. And I'm going to do everything I can to try to get Coach Klein to be the next head coach at Bellevue West. And when those guys saw that, and I saw their reactions to it, and I had multiple kids come up to me and tell me, Coach, I hope you get the job. We want you to get the job. That really gave me a lot of motivation to really prepare myself.
Yeah.
So I spent, you know, I spent time over the weekends preparing myself, reading through questions, you know, what's your philosophy? What do you believe in when it comes to defense, when it comes to offense? How are you going to treat kids? What are you going to do when John Doe's mom is not very happy about playing time and all that kind of, you know, all those kind of questions that you think about when you're interviewing?
Yep.
And just prepare myself for that spot. And, you know, like I said, it was just fortunate enough to, you know, and I think it definitely helped that I had had experience 12 years before.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what this was about. And I also knew what we had coming back. And
yep.
The biggest thing was we didn't want to lose some of these guys to other schools. And we wanted to keep these guys together because we thought we could make a run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were lucky enough to do that. So.
Yep. Yeah. What were the, let's just go through the season. I mean, you know, just, you know, the ups and downs of it. You know, how, what did you learn? What are some things, you know, it's been a long time since you'd been a head coach. What did you learn as the season went along, Steve? And not only are you, you know, I mean, you're taking over, like I said, the target was on your back from day one, and defending state champs, a lot of guys back, like you said. What are some things that you learned as the season went on?
You know, I really believe that winning is a lot harder than people think it is.
yes, it
is. I mean, there's so many details to it that you have to involve from a standpoint of making sure all these guys are all on the same page and understanding that it's not about them. It's about us. And what do we have to do to, you know, prepare ourselves and make ourselves better? And, you know, we came out the first weekend and had a really good weekend. We beat a really talented Lincoln North Star team on the first weekend, and they were really young, but they're really talented. And we beat Miller South, and, you know, I think our guys kind of thought, oh, you know what? This is going to be easy. We don't have to worry. Don't have to worry about practicing well, anything like that. This will be a breeze. And we practiced for that next week, and we had a really bad week of practice. And I told my assistants, I said, if we don't play well, I'm not going to be surprised, because we are not practicing hard. We're not paying attention to details. We're just kind of going through the motions and thinking that we've arrived. So we end up playing Millard North that second weekend of the season to start. And, you know, we had a lead going into the fourth quarter simply because we just hit an unbelievable amount of shots.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into the fourth quarter and things got a little tight, and our kids would tell you, you know what, we didn't prepare very well. And Millard North took it to us in the fourth quarter, and we didn't really respond. We didn't show a lot of toughness, and So that really kind of, I think that kind of really hit us in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me in the mouth. I mean, it was, I mean, I was sitting there after that game thinking, oh man, we just gave up 85 points. And, you know, we're kind of known for a team of being able to guard people and shut people down. We come off a team, off of a season, the season before, where we were never really challenged very much outside of one game.
Uh-huh.
And we shut people down. And so that really kind of shocked me. I went home that night and I remember thinking to myself, man, am I in over my head? What in the world? You know what? Doug's not here anymore.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he was there. I mean, he would have answered any phone call or any text or anything, you know, whenever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But both me and my assistants, you know, we kind of sat down and I said the next morning, I said, obviously we can't do this today because we had another game on Saturday. But I'm going to start hammering these guys in practice. Like, we're going to start hammering them for every detail. You know, if they're not touching lines, you know, we're going to make them run. If they're not communicating, we're going to make them do push-ups. We're going to start holding these guys accountable more, in terms of the details that we wanted taken care of. And we, you know, we go the next Saturday, that Saturday after that Thursday, and we go to Pius on the road. And in that Pius game, you know, they jumped out on us. I think they had a 12-point lead in the second quarter, and we couldn't throw it in the ocean. We had bad body language, and we just seemed like we were a little tight. And so I remember going in at halftime and just, you know, telling these guys, like, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why you guys are playing like you're so tight. You're so, you know, you got punched in the mouth the other night, and just flat told them, listen, guys, I said, I wouldn't go to battle with anybody but you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love you guys. And, you know, I trust you and I believe in you, and you got to go out and just go out and get after it on defense and start doing some of the things that you've been taught to do, and you're going to be fine. And, we happened to come out, and I think we started the third quarter on like a 7 or 10-0 run, to get we were down 8 at half, and, you know, get ourselves back in the game. And then from there on out, it was kind of an eye opener for all of us, you know, to realize, you know what, Doug's not here, and mm-hmm. Doug's not going to be able to fix this. We're going to have to fix this ourselves. And so that week after that game, you know, we had a really hard week of practice. I mean, I told the guys that we're not going to practice like this anymore. We're not going to accept that. And to their credit, they really changed and worked on getting better. And we went to Minneapolis and played a Totino Grace team that, right now is, you know, is going to the Minnesota State tournament and went undefeated in their league, which says a lot in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Minneapolis has
really
unbelievable
good basketball.
Yep. We went up there and really, I thought that was overall our best game of the season that we played all season long. Most from an overall standpoint, we played tough. We were aggressive. We ended up going up there and beating them by 10. And I think that was a reassurance that says, okay, you know what? We're still Bellevue West, and, you know, we can still do these things. And then had a great run in the Metro Conference tournament and happened to win the Metro Conference tournament, which I think, you know, is a big accomplishment considering the amount of teams that are in there that are really good. And then, you know, to think that Millard North was the only game that we lost, and we had a couple opportunities. You know, we played Central late in the season where we didn't play very well. But credit to our guys, we found a way to win. And honestly, I don't know how we won that game still to this day. But we found a way to get it in the hoop one more time than they did.
Yep. Yep.
And then, you know, you earn yourselves an opportunity to make the state tournament. And up until that point, I don't really think I felt a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just kind of going through and doing what we had normally done. And then I think it really hit me when we went to the state tournament. As we're going the week and a half before, you know, the state tournament, you have all that time to practice. And I think in a way, somewhat, I got into my own head a little bit, you know, because I'm thinking, man, we're playing prep. And, And, you know, you give Josh Lukey a week and a half to prepare. I mean, what's he going to have? What's he going to do different?
Yeah.
And kind of overthought a little bit myself and realized that, you know what, if we get beat, season's over. And I kept telling myself I was okay with that because what we had accomplished through the regular season to go 24-1, that's a fantastic season. No matter what was going to happen at the state tournament, truly I was going to be proud of our guys and be happy with that. But I was really tight going into that first round of the state tournament. And I think my guys knew it. We couldn't throw it in the ocean if we tried. You talked about beating us when we shot like 10%. It felt like it was that game all over again. Prep had the one thing that a lot of teams didn't have that could neutralize kind of our strengths, and that was the inside game. You know, they had two big 6'8 kids, and they could neutralize our inside presence. And if we weren't shooting the ball well from the outside, they were going to cause us some problems. And they did. And again, I mean, to our guys' credit, we found a way to hit a couple shots in the last minute of the game and come away with a win. And I know a lot of people kept telling me, hey, you only got to win by one. And that's true. But I think after that game, I realized, okay, I need to just relax. Because I remember sitting the team down and talking to them and saying, okay, fellas, am I making you nervous? And every one of them answered, no, it's not you, coach. And I asked them, I go, the second question I asked them was, do you guys feel a lot of pressure? And two guys, you know, my starting point guard and a guy who comes off the bench and played significant minutes for us said, yeah, coach, we feel a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me realize that, yeah, yes, these guys, obviously, they want to win they want to win it. But I had to get them to understand and realize that it's the journey getting there that's the important part.
Yeah,
it's great if you win it all, and it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking that for granted. But no matter what would have happened for a Friday night at the state tournament, I told them, I said, guys, I said, all you can do is prepare yourself the best that you can with the one day that we have, and then just go out and put it all on the line, and then whatever happens, happens. And we played a little bit more loose that Friday night and were able to get the ball, you know, kind of going there in the second half and found a way to win and beat a Central team that was pretty good for the third time in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the finals, and I truly believe that in the finals, you know, it's more about players making plays than it is coaches. Everybody knows what you're going to do. And you're going, you know, a third game in 4 days. And
yep.
And I just told them at the beginning, I said, you know, just go out there and play as hard as you can and go play together and play for each other. And whatever the result is, we're going to be okay with that no matter what. And, you know, we didn't play particularly great in the first half. We go 1 for 12 or 13 from the 3-point line. Again, and then finally we got the lid off the basket in the second half of that game, and we're able to hit some shots and get some momentum and get some rhythm to it a little bit, and had some guys step up for us that had kind of had, you know, Jaden Casho Jensen hit two huge threes in the second half, and he was a kid who really struggled kind of the second half of the season a little bit. And was a little bit frustrated with some things, but he came through and down the stretch, and obviously Jaden Jackson hit some shots, which really helped, and Jacob Arote played really well too, and we were able to win. And then I really believe after that I was able to just kind of take a breath, and I felt like there was a huge weight off my chest because, you know, there was a lot of I put a lot of pressure on myself. Sure. Obviously, because. Yep. You know, you're coming in first year, you have high expectations. And I wanted those kids to play the best and do the best they could because I knew they were really talented and I didn't want to let them down.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, and so just to get to that point was really important. But to finish it off was awesome. And, you know, my assistant, Matt Lorenzen told me, says to me after the game, he goes, you know what? He goes, there are very few coaches who have had, that have won the Metro Conference tournament in their first year and a state championship in their first year. And obviously I'm not the only one who did that. I mean, those kids deserve all the credit. They yep. did it. They made all the plays and was very fortunate. And I guess the part that I'm most appreciative of is, and I said this in my post-game press conference, was that these guys have had my back all year long. Mm-hmm. They've stepped up every time they needed a bucket to win a game. And they've been there for me, and hopefully I was there for them. And, it was just kind of an eye-opener on how hard it is to win games and how hard it is to get teams to realize that there's bigger things than just them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about just them. It's about them buying into a bigger collective group, about understanding that, you know what, it's about us and what's best for us together. And that group did that, and I'm really proud of them for it. So
you mentioned early in the season, and yeah, you could have picked up the phone and called up Coach Woodard and, you know, this and that. I mean, did that happen at all? Did you feel a need to, you know, as close as you and Doug are, and I know you guys are really, really good friends, but I kind of need to do this myself. I mean, how did you work your way through what I'm guessing was at times where some conflicting emotions to kind of work yourself through?
Oh, sure. At that point, I was kind of more selfish in that, you know what, I'm going to fix this. We're going to get this, and we're going to be the ones to do this. Doug's not going to be there every time. We're going to be able to get this thing fixed. And, my assistants and I really, really sat down that weekend and after that Sunday after and talked about, okay, we need to be harder on these guys about this and hold these guys more accountable. But at that point, it was more me and wanting to try to fix it. But then as the season went along, I mean, I would text Doug, once a week or so. And the nice thing was is Doug was subbing at West. So that helped too, because he was always there. He'd come to practice every once in a while. And I remember one practice he came to, our girls team was very talented too, but they were kind of going through some struggles in January a little bit. And he came and walked into our practice one day, and our practice, we were going through the motions. We weren't communicating. And he comes in and he walks by me and he goes, I'll just let you know something. I just went and watched the girls practice, and the girls are about 90 times louder than you guys are. So if that tells you anything. And so I'm sitting there going, oh, dude, why'd you just tell me that? Like, I knew what he was trying to do. He's trying to get at me a little bit because we weren't practicing very well, and he knew it. But for the most part, Doug was fantastic about, understanding and staying away as much as he could. But I'm telling you, I probably, towards the end of the year here, I text him probably twice a week.
Yeah.
And was constantly talking to him. It's a resource that I'm never going to give up on. And I hope that, he sticks around because I love having it. But I also know that we have, good guys on staff and guys who know a lot on our staff that have helped me and help our players. And so, we got to do a little bit of ourselves too.
Mm-hmm. Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. All right, Coach, at this time, we're going to kind of turn the page here, and we're going to have our John Wooden quote of the day. You know this is coming, Coach Klein. You're ready. Yeah. You're ready for this here.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Are you ready, Mr. Steve Klein, for the John Wooden quote of the day?
Let it rip.
All right. From page 75 of Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations, the John Wooden quote of the day is, "There's a role that each and every one of us must play. We may aspire to what we consider to be a larger role or a more important role, but we cannot achieve that until we show that we are able to fulfill the role that we're assigned. It's these little things that make big things happen."
Did you pick this one on purpose?
No. I picked it this afternoon when I was prepping. I swear. And it's weird how often we get talking and it breaks into the first half of the stuff that we end up talking about, you know? So Klein, do you think I'm really smart enough to come up with something like that? I mean, let's be honest. I got some beachfront property in Alaska I'm going to sell you as well, too.
That could not have been any more perfect. You can use that just from my own coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint. I can specifically think from a player standpoint of two or three guys this year on our team that they had specific roles. One guy coming off the bench was a major defensive guy, and we had to have him. And, understanding and knowing and doing his role led us to ultimately winning the state championship because he played a huge part in the state tournament from a defensive standpoint. Another player who started the season on the bench, but then he earned himself a starting spot. And same kind of thing, understanding and knowing what he was really good at and, using those strengths, but then also understanding his weaknesses and knowing when and where to get the ball to the right spots and execute things. And then we had a kid who started the year in the starting lineup and then ended up coming off the bench for us. And like I said, he hit two huge threes in the state championship game when one of our players went down with an injury and wasn't going to come back. And we needed somebody to kind of spread the floor for us. And he gave us that opportunity. He also had a game earlier in the year where he hit eight threes in the game. So just knowing that role and understanding, how do you fit into the bigger picture? That's the biggest thing. And the part that Doug used to always teach me so much about is explaining that to your kids and letting them know, okay, this is your role. This is what you need to do well. These are the things that we want you to work on. But you being able to play that role to fulfill what our group wants at the end is amazing. And then just from my own standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, going from, being a head coach at one time to going back to being an assistant, I did think, I may never be another head coach again. I don't know if I want to be at that time.
Yeah.
I was perfectly fine with being an assistant and then understanding and knowing that those 12 years that I was Doug's assistant played a huge role into where I'm at now and what I'm able to accomplish now and what I've been able to do with our kids. That quote is to a T perfect.
Well, I try. I mean, it's it's a shot in the dark. I open up the book and literally, I might say, I don't think I've been in this part of the book for a while, and so I'll look here, But trust me, it is not that scientific, I assure you. Hey, let's dive in here, Steve. Let's get basketball nerdy here. Let's talk a little. You want to talk transition offense or transition defense first?
Let's do offense first.
All right. Let it rip, my friend. Tell us what you guys do there at Bellevue West, what you guys did this past season, you know, drills that you use to break it down, so forth and so on. You know, like I tell everybody, you know, probably at some point I'm going to interrupt you. I'll try to do so as politely as I can with a question, and but the floor is yours, and tell us about what you do there at T-Bird Land when it comes to transition offense.
Well, if you've watched us play at all at Bellevue West, you know, transitionally we want to get up and down the floor. That's kind of our main thing. We want the tempo to go. We want to be able to get out and run. Obviously, shoot open shots, but there's a discipline to it. It's not just randomly guys just running around. So, one of the very first things we do when we come in at the beginning of the season, our offensive session that we start with is breaking down, you know, who plays what and number wise. So we obviously have, you know, our point guard is our one, our two man will always run down the right side. Our three man will always run down the left side. Our four man is our post that runs rim to rim. And our five man will always take the ball out of bounds. And so that's a major, major part. And you have to be really disciplined to do it, because what kids want to do, well, wait, coach, it's easier. I was over here on the right side. I was the three, but I'm on the right, so I'm just going to run the right lane. Well, no, that's not how things work. Because what ends up happening is you end up having the two and the three on the same side, and now you don't have the floor balanced up. So that's a major emphasis that we start the season with in our very first practices, and to be able to get the ball out of the net and in the point guard's hands in 1.5 seconds. The five man has to know, man, you better crash the boards and be around the basket, because as soon as that ball's through the net, we're out and we are gone before you can even blink. And then, you know, offensively getting us into as quick actions as we can. So one of our main philosophies is get the ball out of your hands and advance the basketball as fast as you can. So as a point guard, you're looking for our two man down the right, our three man down the left, and looking to get the ball advanced for a quick shot. That might be a layup. That might be a three. And trying to get essentially the fastest shot we can find that's open. We're not really built to run, you know, with a 35-second shot clock, we want to run 34 off. No, ideally, we'd like to have a shot up in 4 or 5 seconds, if possible. And so one of the things that we'll do from, like, watching film-wise is we'll break down. I'll show clips in games where, you know, and I'll write it as, you know, this is Bellevue West basketball. Get the ball out of the net, get it in the one's hands, the one throws it to the two, layup, and it's a matter of 4 seconds on film. And understanding the fact that your change from defense to offense is so important in the game of basketball. And knowing, you know, high school kids, when they make a shot, even college, I mean, you watch the conference tournaments or NCAA tournament, and you watch the number of guys who start celebrating when they make a shot like they've never done it before in their lives. And, you know, that just drives me nuts. And so I'm like, you know what, get the ball out of the net and get it back at him.
Amen.
Like, I don't care. You know, if a kid dunked it, it doesn't matter. Just get the ball out of the net and go back at him. Because there's no bigger backbreaker than when, you know what, they just hit a three, and in 3 seconds you're on the other end and you just hit a three right back at them. Those are momentum killers. So offensively, there's a couple drills that we'll do. We run what we call 2.5 cycle. So a down and a back is a full cycle. So we go 2.5 times. So we go down, back, down, back, down. And we'll time it. And our guys have to be under 26.5 seconds. And so what you'll do is you circle up in the lane, and I'll have a coach who will throw the ball up and score it. Five man's got to get the ball out of bounds. So he throws it to the one. And the one speed dribbles all the way down the floor and makes a layup. And so now the five man sprinting the lane, he gets the ball out of the net, throws it to the one, again, coming back down the floor the other way. And the one's going to go 1-2 layup. Then the five man is running again, gets the ball out of the net. Now we're going to go 1-3 layup. Then the second end of it is you get the ball out of the net again, and now you're going 1-2-4 layup. And then the last half cycle, you get the ball out of the net, you go one, you throw it to the two or the three, and then they throw it back to the five for the trail three. And you have to have that all done in less than 26 and a half seconds. And so if you're not organized, or if you miss layups or you throw bad passes, there's no way you're going to get that done in 26 and a half.
Yep.
And you know, funny thing is I'm coaching AAU and teaching those guys how to do that. And, you know, they're like, "Coach, how in the world do you guys get that done in 26 and a half?" I said, "Well, I said, most of my guys have been doing this for 4 years, so they know everything. These guys in AAU are just learning this, and they're like, man, that's crazy." Well, I guess you'll get to it eventually.
Yeah.
Like our younger kids, they don't, you know, our freshmen, our reserves, they don't get it in 20. Even our JV probably doesn't get it in under 26 and a half.
But it's the thought of
our goal and our expectation.
Yeah, exactly. It's the standard that you expect to hold them to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing we'll do is what we call two cycle. And so now we'll go two cycle into our end of breaks. And so now you don't have an easy shot off of the quick transition. And now you'll get us into one of our end of breaks. And so you'll go down, you know, maybe you'll throw it one to two, and now you'll get us into an away look or a through look or, you know, some kind of quick action. Once you get down there, that's going to make teams guard multiple sides of the floor within 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just some secondary action to get some movement and just to stay, you know, it keeps your kids moving, but it also, one of the things as I've watched you guys play over the years, the defense doesn't have an opportunity to rest in any way, shape, or form. And I think that it's just so wearing to watch teams try to play at that pace. And it's the old kind of, we kind of do this so crazy, but we're used to the crazy and you're not, and you have to adjust to us rather than us adjusting to you. That's a lot of the thought process, isn't it, Steve?
Right, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And we'll have teams who will, you know, they'll try to jam our point guards or, you know, and, I mean, there are some teams who will try to press. Well, some teams don't have very good luck with that because we get the ball out so fast that we beat your press down the floor before you can even blink. But we've had a lot more teams over the last couple of years try to jam our point guards. But fortunately enough, we've had really good point guards to try to jam, which is pretty hard.
Yeah, you had this guy that played in the Big Ten championship game today that did all right for you, didn't he?
Was he? Yeah, he was just okay.
I can't remember his name. God darn it. I'm just, yeah.
Well, so, him,
yeah,
Josiah
yeah.
Dosler, you know, even Elton Turner. I mean, we've had three guys in a row that have played point guard who have been extremely talented, which definitely doesn't hurt any.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. In case you're wondering, folks, it's Chucky Hepburn. Yeah, he's all right, so. A Pen and a Napkin University videos are just another way that A Pen and a Napkin can help you become a better coach. Our university video library is constantly expanding with topics ranging from interviewing for a job to full court defense to 25 universal truths about coaching. Our university videos will help you round out your skill set as a coach and help you hone your craft. Videos are $10 a piece with bundling options available. To order, you can DM me on Twitter, send me an email at apenandanapkin@gmail.com, or order from our website, apenandanapkin.com. Be sure to check out the A Pen and a Napkin video library. What about, you know, your transition defense? And what are you guys doing there? And how much, you know, I don't know, not to say that you've changed anything or whatever, I just didn't have a chance to see you guys play. You know, what are you guys doing with your transition defense and counteracting that and maintaining that pace that you want to play?
Transition defense, I think, is one of the most important things to execute and practice every day. And it's something that we try to really, no matter what drill we do, if we're doing any kind of 5-on-5 stuff, it's automatic. We'll probably do one or two transitions every time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're constantly focusing. I mean, we start our practice with, after our warm-up stuff, it's an automatic transition drill right away. So we do what we call five on the baseline. And, you know, we'll have a coach out on the free throw line. The defensive guys are spread out, free throw line extended all the way across the court. We'll have five guys on the baseline. And we'll throw it to a guy and call a guy's name, and that player has to go touch the baseline. So you're already one down. And so a couple of things we really focus on are getting the ball stopped and the rim covered. And if you have those two things covered, everybody else gets themselves to the lane and you match up however you can match up. And you know, we talk about matchups during the season and, you know, okay, for example, Eldon Turner, you're guarding number 10. Well, in transition, you're not guarding number 10. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you're guarding. So your communication and your skills to be able to talk and actively match up and get the ball stopped and the rim covered are two huge, huge pieces to transition defense. And it's, like I said, it's something we practice a lot. You know, we have our beginning drill, but then, you know, anytime we're doing a defensive drill, we always have a transition to offense, or an offensive drill, we always have a transition to defense. There's always something included in there because the game of basketball never stops. Like, it's not like, football where you run a play and then you have, okay, we got 30 or 40 seconds to get ourselves organized. Mm-hmm. No, the game of basketball is constant, and the team that wins the transition battle offensively and defensively most of the time is the team that wins games.
Yeah.
And so it just plays a huge piece.
Mm-hmm. What's another, you kind of did, you know, we call it call the name transition where you go touch the baseline. What's another good defensive transition drill that you guys like to run?
We call it lumberjack transition. So we'll start 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. And so we have like the varsity group will be on offense 3-on-3. We'll have three guys on JV playing on defense. And I'll have them do some kind of offensive action that I want, something simple. Mm-hmm. And they get a quick shot. We have two guys on the sidelines that are ready to touch. So as soon as the shot goes up, they go down and they're on the sidelines. They go down, they touch the baseline, and now they're sprinting back. So now we're two men down. And so you execute that action, 3-on-3, shot goes up, the gold team, or in this case our JVs, grab the rebound, and they've got five guys coming at you. We only got three guys getting back. We got two guys who got to touch the baseline and then sprint down and find a way to get matched up. We call that lumberjack transition. So That's another transition drill that we'll do specifically to work just on transition defense.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. You talked a little bit about your practice setup, Steve. Tell us, take us into that there. You talked about you got your warm up and then you go right into transition. Just kind of let us into the world of Thunderbird basketball there. What's a typical mid January ish practice looking like for Bellevue West?
Well, one of the things practice wise that I picked up with Doug and you know, we kind of talked about as I was working with him was finding ways to do more shot form and shooting. So one of the things we do at the beginning of every practice is we do a 10-minute shooting session where we have all our guys partnered up with partners or in groups of three organized before practice starts. And then we have what we call pre-practice shooting. So just an example of some things that we might do pre-practice shooting-wise. We start out with just basic form shooting. So they go toe touch shots. So they'll be stationary, like a foot away from the basket, whatever dominant hand they are, they got to go down, touch that toe, keep the ball in front, raise it and finish it. So they might shoot three sets of nine. Mm-hmm. They do maybe what we call elbow catch 1-2. So they're working on coming from the wing into the elbow, working on inside pivot foot and just working on their form shot. And they'll shoot five sets of five. And then we'll shoot maybe partner threes to 30 where they're partnered up, their partner passes it out to them, they shoot it, they go get their own rebound, relocate to another spot. And so in 10 minutes, their goal is to get through all of that in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Obviously our younger guys, you know, they don't quite always understand the importance of the speed they have to go at. Fortunately for us, this group of seniors and juniors that we have really understands that and really did a good job of setting the example for our young kids of getting all the way through that for the first 10 minutes of practice. Then after that, after our pre-practice shooting, we get into a warm-up session we kind of get up and down. We might do some three-man weave, some weave build-up where we start really close, and then as we gradually go, we widen out. Do some what I call three-line change of direction. We start with three guys on each baseline and then three guys in the middle of the court. Everybody has a ball. And so every time you get to either the top of the key, the half court line, or the other top of the key, you got to make a change of direction. And then you're at the other basket, you're going into a shot. So the guys in the middle will pick a direction and they'll go make one change of direction in that case and then shoot a jump shot. The guys on the baseline then will go. They'll make a change of direction at the three-point line, change of direction at half court, change of direction at the other three-point line into a shot, just to kind of get the blood flowing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then we'll stretch it out. And then once we do all that, that's the first essential 25 minutes of practice right there for us. And then we get into our transition drill. So we'll go transition defense where we're going five on the baseline. We'll usually spend 8 to 10 minutes on that. We'll start with that, and then we break down into our defense, essentially. So we'll do an individual defensive session where maybe there's some specific things, maybe some one-on-ones on the wing, or maybe there's some specific things with ball screens we want to do that we work individually with that. And then we come together in the next 10, 15 minutes, and we work on, if you're talking January, we're working on, let's say we're playing prep that week. It's a prep scout session. So 10 minutes of just in the half court, working on some of the things that they do well, what things we want to take away. And then now, after that 10-minute session, then we go to a 15-minute session of now you're playing defense against what you're doing against prep, but then you're transitioning back offensively. And mm-hmm. So now you're, again, it's constant understanding of how the transition is so important. And so, that takes roughly, the next 30 minutes or so. And then we break down offensively. We do the same kind of thing. What individual things offensively do we want to work on for that opponent or that week? And then we come together as a team. And when we do team offense, it's always us, we'll execute a set or execute just an action that we want to see, and then it's transitioning back now on defense. And so there's always that transition element to it. And then kind of at the end, depending on the day, we'll do some post-perimeter individual breakdown stuff. I've got two really good coaches who handle the guards, Zach Bush and Matt Lawrence, and both take the guards for me. And they do a fantastic job with those guys. Zach played at Wichita State. Mm-hmm. On those Final Four teams, so he's
okay.
He's got big time connections and really knows a lot of things and did a fantastic job with our guards, and Matt's always done a good job with our guards as well. And then I take the post players for about a 10-15 minute session, and then a lot of times we like to finish practice with a little conditioning session where, but we like to do it with the basketball. I don't just like to run just to run. We'll do what we call Kentucky layup. And so you've got essentially 12 guys that will be involved. And you've got four guys underneath each hoop. And you've got four guys essentially on what I would say the four corners of the volleyball lines around half court.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got four balls. And it's just constant layups for 4 minutes. And in 4 minutes, for example, this group for 4 minutes, if they went right-handed, their number this year a lot of times was 172. They had to get 172 makes in 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't make it, we would probably go to the left hand. And, we might have a little bit lower number, but it's a good conditioner, but it's also a good team builder. And it's good to have that ball in their hands.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you an idea, roughly what our practices are like.
Mm-hmm. Let's end on this, Steve. You had mentioned this a couple of times, and I had never. It's crazy in I don't know how many 200 and some of these, but you had talked about how you had mentioned multiple times that your Sunday meetings And I know this is really popular in football, but do you guys get to get together on Sundays and actually meet face to face and talk about things? And, you know, just again, I've never, I know it's a football thing, especially at the high school level, but I had never heard of it for a basketball team. Fill us in a little bit on that, buddy.
Yeah, Doug and I did quite a bit, pretty much almost every week when mm-hmm. I was with Doug. We would, you know, it was an hour and a half maybe, that we would just go up to school and sit down and watch, you know, our previous, you know, if we played on Saturday night, we'd watch our Saturday night game and talk about it. And then we would sit down and talk about our opponent for the week upcoming and just kind of give us a good gauge on, okay, this is what we want to work on this week. This is what we need to get better at. What kind of, you know, how can we implement this into our practice plan? And so it was really helpful. I honestly didn't do it this year. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to go back to it next year. I didn't do it this year mostly because, you know, Zach, our varsity assistant, is new. And so he's also trying to figure out, you know, the teaching parts of it. Sure. Plus he's also getting ready to get married in June. So, you know, I know he's awful busy. And so
he's got
to
suck it up. You know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's got a lot on his plate.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
So I didn't do it this year, but I think, you know, I'm really thinking about next year going kind of back to that because it really gave both of us a really good idea on what it is we wanted to do for the week practice-wise. And we could kind of sit down and decompress. These are the things that we're doing well. These are the things that we've got to get better at if we want to compete for what we want to compete for. And it was a good time to just kind of sit and talk basketball mm-hmm. as well, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Coach Klein, if folks want to know more about you or they want to know more about the Bellevue West program, how can they find out about it?
We have a Twitter handle, at TBirdBB is our Twitter handle. We try to do a pretty good job. I got to maybe have to give this to one of my assistants eventually here, but I used to kind of be the social media guy and I just had a little bit too much on the old plate this year to kind of, so I might have to hand that one off. But I have that, on Twitter and it really kind of gives a lot of information about Bellevue West basketball. We also, you know, I'm at Coach Klein 4. If you ever want to hit me up about anything basketball wise, I'm an open book and I'm more than willing and wanting to learn from others. I'll be the first to tell you, I am far from knowing everything about the game of basketball and am always open to hearing and talking, basketball with other coaches. And, you know, I would say this, you know, I've got a ton of respect for you, Coach Plum, and I really appreciate, what you've done with this podcast and A Pen and a Napkin, because I have sat and listened to so many of your podcasts that you've had with other coaches, and it's really helped me professionally and personally both. And, you know, I really appreciate that and you trying to help other coaches become better at what they're doing. You know, hopefully, you know, you keep that up and really appreciate that.
I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to diving in on some things, taking a deep breath. You know, we'll see where the basketball roads take me. But you know, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing with this, and looking forward to shameless plug our coaches clinic at the end of April and all that stuff. But I do appreciate it, Steve. That makes it all worthwhile. It's like coaching, you know. It's not work. It's a fun hobby, but I appreciate the kind words, man. That means a lot. That truly does mean a lot. So,
And if you ever if you ever need somebody to come on or talk, I would love to come on. Or I noticed you have your little round table sometimes, and
yeah,
I mean from my standpoint, it's great because you know, we're in the state tournament, and mm-hmm. so I'm not able to be there. So that's great. But if we're ever not in the state tournament, which, you know, I hope that doesn't happen, but well, knock on wood. But if we're ever not in the state tournament, and you know, I would love to be on that and just sit and talk basketball.
I tell you what, we'll see if Crable will open up the back room and again, which I'm sure he will. And you know, that might become the unofficial home of a pen and a napkin. I think it is already, besides my office here in the back of my garage. So hey, I was gonna ask you, you know, are you saying that FAU Coach Woodard is not the official Twitter handle of T-Bird basketball?
Well, you know what, he can be involved in that absolutely 100%. But I do want to have a little, I want to say a little something, because, you know, I've had a couple people who have been like, you know, that full Coach Woodard, you know, he's, he really makes you look bad sometimes. I'm like, I got nothing to do with that. Like, he's on his own, but I'm really appreciative of his support for Bellevue West and Bellevue West basketball, both boys and girls. But no, he's an awesome follow, and He does a great job getting T-Bird stuff out too, which is awesome, and it helps out a lot.
Yeah, it's if you're not watching it, or if you're not following, and I'll tag it on this when we drop it, but it's some pretty good stuff, man. It's some pretty good stuff.
It's great. I mean, he makes fun of me all the time, you know, and it's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know. We won't go down that. We won't go down that road there. How about that? So. Steve Klein, head boys basketball coach at Bellevue West. Steve, hope you had a good time on the pod, man. It was a great discussion with you.
Well, thank you very much again for having me. I had an awesome time, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Like I said, I wanted to let this kind of whole season play out here and get your full perspective after everything was over. And you know, it's a hard job to do, and then you're stepping in for a guy like Doug and the stuff that he's done, and you were the right guy for the job, and you showed that by the way that you handled the last 365 days or so, my friend, and I just I tip my hat to you. Great stuff, and you deserve all the flowers that you're getting right now.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. That means a lot. And you know, that really does means a lot coming from you, even, you know, with the battles we've had, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. So, let's wrap it up here. Hold the line here a second, Steve. So, again, Steve Klein, head boys basketball coach at, Bellevue West, did a great job this year, state champion, the king of Class A for now. For now, we're going to put the emphasis on that for now, because I know Steve is very humble and he doesn't want to bring any more attention to himself. So he truly meant what he said earlier at the beginning of the pod. So, but want to thank Steve for coming on. Want to thank COSAC Chiropractic again for being our founding sponsor. Follow us on Twitter at a pen and a napkin. Really excited. You'll be seeing some NCAA tournament stuff this week. We're heading down to Memphis to follow the Nebraska Cornhuskers down there. So excited to head down there, and maybe I'll bring the gear with me and see what we can come up with while we're down there. So download, rate, review, give us 5 stars. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me at penandanapkin@gmail.com. Been a great talk with Steve Klein, and hope you folks have enjoyed it. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.